44% of the people surveyed in a new national poll say they don't often feel proud to be American. So does that mean 44% of the nation is unpatriotic? I'm Anne Strainchamps, and on this 4th of July weekend, we're asking, can you disagree with, even feel embarrassed by, your country's actions and still be a patriot? For example, would you consider Edward Snowden a patriot? Sarah Nix put that question to Guardian journalist Luke Harding, author of The Snowden Files.
Just for people who need to get caught up, could you give us just a brief summary of the information Snowden has released about the surveillance that the U.S. and other governments are doing?
Well, what we now know, thanks to Snowden, is that the U.S. And the U.K. in particular are spying on, collecting the data of, pretty much everybody. So we're talking about Americans whose telephone records are being hoovered up secretly or secretly until Snowden came along. We're talking about Europeans, Latin Americans, that essentially the ambition of the NSA is limitless, to collect all of the data all of the time, as General Alexander, the former NSA chief, put it. And this is actually the kind of biggest program of surveillance. Snowden calls it pre-criminal surveillance in human history. There's been nothing like this before. And so we're at a new crossroads in terms of how we deal with this and the fact that our privacy as citizens is rapidly disappearing.
And what does he mean by pre-criminal?
What Snowden means is that if you think traditionally about spying by our intelligence agencies was against bad guys, terrorists, the Soviet Union, the Chinese leadership and so on, Al-Qaeda. And what's really happened, I think, and we've seen the documents, Snowden gave us the documents since 9/11, is that this mission has turned into something much more kind of amorphous, whereby data has been collected on everybody, on grandmothers in Wyoming, on, you know, my aunt in London, on really the citizens of the planet, just in case in the future they raise triggers, they set alarms off inside the NSA's headquarters in Fort Meade. And then analysts will be able to retrospectively sift all of the data to sort of see, make connections and see if there's been any kind of wrongdoing going on. And this is a kind of profound change in the way intelligence gathering is being operated, from sort of particularized suspicion of particular bad guys to mass surveillance of everybody.
You know, what's fascinating about reading your book and Edward Snowden's public statements about why he released the information is there's an enormous amount of patriotic fervor in there. What's your sense of whether the wider public sees Snowden in the U.S. and outside the U.S. as well as a patriot?
I think my sense is that the U.S. is kind of deeply divided over Snowden into those who are convinced that he's a traitor who's damaged U.S. national security, and those who actually take a step back and think that he's a patriot. I mean, Snowden himself certainly views himself as a patriot. And what's been fascinating about, I mean, I wrote this book very closely with my colleague Ewan McCaskill, who met Snowden in Hong Kong during that kind of famous encounter last year in a hotel room. And Snowden genuinely believes he is reforming the NSA, that he's doing a good job, that he's not damaging legitimate intelligence operations, but he's kind of bringing the intelligence community back to sanity as he sees it. And he said very clearly that he's not actually against secrecy, that secrecy is necessary. It may seem paradoxical, but that's what he says. He is in favor of accountability, and that's what he thinks the NSA lost sight of. So yeah, he actually thinks this is a kind of public service.
And you know, it seems to me that part of the reason that people are criticizing Snowden is because he went through The Guardian and Greenwald and some other journalists to publicize this information rather than going through official channels. What do we know about why he made that choice?
Snowden's been very clear about why he didn't go through official channels. What he did was he looked around 2010, 2011, 2012 when he was preparing this leak or contemplating this leak, and he saw what had happened to other whistleblowers. So he looked at Chelsea Manning, for example, who leaked US diplomatic cables, classified ones, secret ones, to WikiLeaks, the Julian Assange, which we published, the New York Times published, and so on. And of course, Chelsea Manning got 35 years in jail, even though some might argue that some of the stuff he leaked was in the public interest. Similarly with Thomas Drake, another NSA employee who went right to the top, went to Congress, went to the NSA's own internal auditor, complaining about what he regarded as kind of overreach, and was subsequently arrested at gunpoint when he was in the shower and eventually acquitted. But Snowden decided that this route was not for him, that no one would listen, and therefore he would pick out journalists he could trust and he would turn the material over to them.
How old is he now?
He's 30 years old.
So he's a young guy with access to all of this classified information. And you write in the book about how Greenwald and his colleagues had moments of pause because Snowden is so young. But I read recently that with every new generation, there's a new idea of what democracy is. And I find myself wondering whether part of the debate we're seeing now is not about whether Snowden or Chelsea Manning are patriots, but whether it's expressing some kind of generational philosophical difference about the idea of what democracy should be and what patriotism is.
Sarah, that's such a fascinating question, and I completely agree with you. You can read this as a kind of political battle, but I think you're right. I think it's also a kind of generational battle. It's a sort of demographic battle. And what's so interesting about Snowden is that he is someone from the first generation off the internet who grew up with it, who, for want of a better word, is sort of digitally native. And my sense is that his generation relate to the internet in a different way. And so they see it as their internet. They don't see it as the NSA's internet or the Pentagon's internet. They see it as a kind of platform, a universal platform for everybody. And one little story sticks with me. When Snowden was in Hong Kong talking to my colleague Ewan, he was discussing his options. Still in Hong Kong, where might he go? And his lawyers were sort of making it pretty clear that if he stayed in Hong Kong, probably there'd be an attempt to extradite him and he would go to prison. And what appalled him about going to prison wasn't actually the confinement, it's the fact that he would have no internet connection. There'd be no Wi-Fi in his jail cell. He could live without, you know, much food or without light or without exercise, but the idea of being disconnected from the virtual world was anathema to him. And I think that explains why he's so kind of passionately committed to the internet and why actually ultimately he sacrificed his life, in his view, to save the internet for us.
You know, it's hard not to think about other whistleblowers and leakers as we read about Snowden. In particular, I'm thinking about Daniel Ellsberg and the Pentagon Papers. And it's striking to me how public opinion is so different on the two. You know, Ellsberg's a hero, and Snowden, as you say, is a really divisive figure. Why do you think that is? Why the difference?
I think it's a question of time. I think when Daniel Ellsberg first leaked the Pentagon Papers, he was a very divisive figure, and really history proved him right, that the Vietnam War was a disaster for U.S. foreign policy, and what he leaked was the kind of internal thinking of government as it kind of got into this sort of quagmire in the Far East. And I think the same is actually true of Snowden. I mean, now he polarizes opinion. Either people are passionately pro-Snowden or they say throw away the key, lock him up. But I really feel that kind of future generations, our kids, their grandchildren, will see 2013, the Snowden revelations, as a kind of turning point, not perhaps where we got our privacy back, but where we could finally, having been given the facts by Snowden, have a kind of democratic, grown-up conversation about where we go in our kind of crazy, cacophonous digital world. And I think with time, more people will come around to thinking that actually he did the US and indeed the world a great service.
Luke Harding's the author of The Snowden Files, the inside story of the world's most wanted man. Sarah Nick spoke with him.